He began to experience a horrible feeling about the thing in front of him, but he asked anyway.
"Well, the art of it all is this camshaft," said Simnel, gratified at the interest. "The power comes up via the pulley here, and the cams move the swaging arms, that's these, and the combing gate, which is operated by the reciprocating mechanism, comes down just as the gripping shutter drops in this slot here, and of course at the same time the two brass balls go round and round, and the fletching sheets carry off the straw while the grain drops with the aid of gravity down the riffling screw and into the hopper. Simple."
"And the 3/8 Gripply?"
"Ah, good job you reminded me."
Simnel fished around among the debris on the floor, picked up a small knurled object, and screwed it onto a protruding piece of the mechanism.
"Very important job. It stops the elliptical cam gradually sliding up the beam shaft and catching on the flange rebate, with disastrous results, as you can no doubt imagine."
Simnel stood back and wiped his hands on a cloth, making them slightly more oily.
"I'm calling it the Combination Harvester," he said.
Bill Dawe felt very old. In fact, he was very old, but he'd never felt it as much as this. Somewhere in the shadow of his soul, he felt he knew, without a blacksmith explaining, what it was that the Combination Harvester was supposed to do.
"Oh.
We're going to give it a trial run this afternoon up in old Peedbury's big field. It looks very promising, I must say. What you're looking at now, Mr. Dawe, is the future."
"Yes." Bill Dawe ran his hand over the framework. "And the harvest itself?"
"Hmm? What about it?"
"What will it think of it? Will it know?"
Simnel wrinkled his nose.
"No? No? It won't know anything. Corn's corn."
"And sixpence is sixpence."
"Exactly." Simnel hesitated.
"What was it you were wanting?"
The tall figure ran a disconsolate finger over the oily mechanism.
"Mr. Dawe?"
"Pardon?" "Oh, yes. I had something for you to do."
He strode out of the forge and returned almost immediately with something wrapped in silk. He unwrapped it carefully. He'd made a new handle for the blade, not a straight one such as they used in the mountains, but the heavy double-curved handle of the plains.
"You want it beaten out? A new grass nail? Metalwork replacing?"
Bill Dawe shook his head.
"I want it killed."
"Killed?"
"Yes, totally. Every bit destroyed, so that it is absolutely dead."
"Nice scythe," said Simnel. "Seems a shame. You've kept a good edge on it."
"Don't touch it."
Simnel sucked his finger.
"Funny," he said. "I could have sworn I didn't touch it. My hand was inches away." "Well, it's sharp anyway."
He swished it through the air.
"Yes, pretty sharp, I'd say."
He paused, stuck his little finger in his ear and swiveled it around a bit.
"You sure you know what you want?" he said.
Bill Dawe solemnly repeated his request. Simnel shrugged.
"Well, I suppose I can melt it down and burn the handle," he said.
"Yes."
"Well, okay. It's your scythe, and you're basically right, of course. This is old technology now. Redundant."
"I fear you may be right."
Simnel jerked a grimy thumb towards the Combination Harvester. Bill Dawe knew it was made only out of metal and canvas, and therefore couldn't possibly lurk. But it was lurking. Moreover, it was doing so with a chilling, metallic smugness.
"You could get Miss Flitworth to buy you one of these, Mr. Dawe. It'd be just the job for a one-man farm like that. I can see you now, up there, up in the breeze, with the belts clacking away and the sparge arms oscillating."
"No."
"Go on. She could afford it. They say she's got boxes full of treasure from the old days."
"No."
Simnel hesitated. The last no contained a threat more certain than the creak of thin ice on a deep river. It said that going any further could be the most foolhardy thing Simnel would ever do.
"I'm sure you know your own mind best," he mumbled.
"Yes."
"Then it'll just be, call it a farthing for the scythe,"
Simnel gabbled.
"Sorry about that, but